I guess with that, we say hello to the founder and editor of TiderInsider.com. Rodney, welcome in. Have you gotten any sleep yet?
Well, I did last night. You know, obviously after the game, it was what an amazing game it was. And I honestly did not get to bed till like 4 in the morning and was up at, up at 7. You know, but hey, listen, to be honest with you, and I know we're going to talk about this game, but I'll go ahead and say it up front. Been following them, watching them. 1968 was the first Alabama game I ever watched, the 68 Cotton Bowl. 68 Cotton Bowl against Texas A&M. Mm-hmm. And so that's 50 years, Harold and Brett, 50 years. Right. And I'll tell you, that was the most amazing game to me that I've seen. I mean, it ranks right up there at the top, you know, with two or three of the most amazing games I've ever seen Alabama play.
Incredible. Well, you know, Rodney, you sent me a text, very kind of you to do that, and it comes under the category of you told us so. I mean, for weeks now, you've been telling us this kid is special, obviously talking about Tua, and let us pronounce it because not even the networks can, it seems. Tagovailoa, I hope we got that right. But you said not only is he special, this guy could possibly win a Heisman Trophy. I mean, obviously we can talk a whole lot about the game, but we know where it all begins.
Yeah, and I think you asked me last week, and I said, you know, I think he's the most gifted passer, gifted quarterback I've ever seen in my 50 years of watching it. Now, I didn't really see Stabler. That was Stabler's last game. I didn't know what I was looking at in 1968, the Cotton Bowl. Mm-hmm. But I've never seen anything like this kid. And listen, let's put this into perspective. I'm sure you guys already have, but let's put this into perspective. This is a kid that has played no meaningful snaps this year. He's never played a meaningful snap on the college level in terms of against a team, when a quality defense, when the game's on the line, whatever it might be.
Right.
He's played one half of football since the Tennessee game, and that was against Mercer. He did not play against Mississippi State. He did not play against LSU. He did not play against Auburn. He did not play against Clemson. And to ask this guy to come in to start the second half in the national championship game, down 13-0.
Behind.
Yeah, trailing 13-0. Okay, you're trailing the team that won the SEC championship, the team that has a top three defense, on the biggest stage there is in college football, with that lack of experience, and to do what he threw, three touchdown passes in the second half.
Hey, Rodney, not only that, basically it was a Georgia home game in a way.
Yeah, absolutely, it was. And you know what? Listen, he takes a sack, which was a tough deal. I'm not really sure how he could have gotten rid of that. But anyway, he takes the sack and loses 16 yards. Wasn't it 16? I think it was, yeah. So it was second and 26. And this guy, he sees his coach on the sideline, Saban, going ballistic. And again, the 18-year-old kid, and he steps up and delivers that pass. Wow. I mean, just incredible. I mean, how else can you explain it? Now, I would say with that, I'd say this to me. That's the greatest individual performance. Based on all that stuff I just mentioned, that's the greatest individual performance by an Alabama football player I've ever seen.
Wow.
And, I mean, think about it. I mean, you're asking an 18-year-old. This is the most difficult position on the field to learn. He hasn't even really been able to develop in a game. You know, but we had heard from very good sources over the last, you know, 3 weeks of practices, mm-hmm. that he was really lighting it up, that he had taken that next step. He was already good, and people said, listen, he's taking it to another level. It's like going against the first team defense, bam, 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 he's making throws. And we saw that translate into the game against Georgia. Man, wow. This guy was the shot in the arm. He's the shot in the arm this program needed. You know, yeah. Brett, I know, Brett, you and Harold follow the board a little bit, Tighter Insider, yeah. And I had posted on December the 9th that this program was at a crossroads, and people told me I was crazy. They said, listen, you know, we're getting ready to play for the national championship. We're in the playoffs, all this stuff. But you could see, since Texas A&M, and I've mentioned this on your show, I don't think Alabama had played very well from the Texas A&M game on. It was a dead program. I'm just going to be honest with you. I know there were a lot of injuries on the defensive side. There was no energy on the offensive side and had not been any energy. And you could see it. Nick Saban was in a position where I felt like it was a crossroads. He was going to have to make some personnel decisions. The biggest one, of course, would be the insertion of Tua Tagovailoa. So that was clear. And also, he had to do that in the face of a record that Jalen Hurts, the teams that he's played on, a lot of people credit the quarterback. I've always said it's a team record, but he was 25-2, whatever it was. So that was another issue that you had to consider. And now he's got some staff situations that he's going to have to, you know, get straightened out here, mm-hmm. and so forth. But I do say, with this said, all this said, I think recruiting had kind of it kind of hit a stone wall a little bit. So I think right now, with everything we saw happen on Monday night, all of a sudden, you know, this program got a shot in the arm.
Well, Rodney, for sure, Jalen Waddle is not going to sign with Alabama when he sees a cornerback go 3 of 8 for 21 yards. And the first pass he threw to Kelvin Ridley, he nearly threw in the ground. And there had to be something done about this. And you brought that up on the podcast. Kick six, Nick Saban hires Lane Kiffin. He goes to more of the quick twitch players that the defense had gotten to be too large, too big over the years and couldn't move, and particularly after losing to Ohio State. And I agree with you exactly. This was not a fit with personnel and scheme of Brian Daboll. And you're right, and Harold and I talked about it off the air. The expectations now for Tua moving forward are going to get out of hand, and that's something Nick Saban's going to have to work on. But, Ronnie, I agree with you. This is taking this offense to another level, and now they've got the playmakers. And as you've told us last year, when you first saw these guys on the field, this 2016 signing class may be the best one, even looking at comparing it to 2008. It just completely opens up the playbook and adds a new dimension.
Oh, yeah, man. You look at that's a phenomenal thing when you think about it, because really when Jonah Williams went down at left tackle with about 13:41 left in the third quarter.
I mean, and was replaced by whom?
Yeah.
Yeah, a true freshman, Alex Leatherwood. And, you know, here's a guy that in much in a similar situation, you're talking about a left tackle. Of course, with two in the game, he's not protecting his backside. He's protecting his front side. But still, you're throwing a left tackle in the game that's got very few reps. You know, he's got some game reps, certainly, but a true freshman. And for him to get out there and to perform the way he did, I'll tell you what it tells me. It's no question. They have really been developing these guys in practices, even though some of them haven't played in games. You know, I've been told, for example, Tua was getting 50% of the reps over the 3 weeks of practices. He was splitting reps with Jalen, so he was getting a lot of the number one reps. And Alex Leatherwood, all these guys that really contributed. But see, listen, you got Najee Harris, who had big practices leading up to the Clemson game and so forth. Mm-hmm. The freshman wide receivers, man, yeah, what a class it is. There's even more guys that are yep. going to contribute in great ways. So,
yeah,
it's an unbelievable class for sure.
Checking in with the man, Rodney Ortider, Insider.com. Quickly, Rodney, we talked about recruiting and the impact where things were going. Unlike years past, you basically get two halves. They were seeing the first half, Alabama, by Alabama standards, disappointing, only a top five, top six class. So now what, heading down the stretch here to the first Wednesday in February?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. I think they've got a chance to finish really strong. You know, we'll see. You mentioned Jalen Waddle. Again, I know that Texas A&M's obviously pushing really hard there. Jacob Copeland is a guy that I think he really took notice, the receiver out of Pensacola. He may follow mm-hmm. through it to Tennessee. I don't know. He's still considering Florida as well. You know, but those are two really big guys. Justin Ross out of Phoenix City Central. So they want to get two or three of those guys, two of the three, I think, and then maybe an offensive lineman, Panay Sewell and Nicholas Pettit-Prayer. We've mentioned both of those guys. Yeah. You know, they maybe get one of those guys on the defensive side. They certainly need to get another defensive lineman, whether it's Malik Langham out of Huntsville Lee or Tyler Friday out of Don Bosco Prep up in New Jersey. Those are two guys to watch. I don't know if they're going to be able to hold on to linebacker Quay Walker, who's been committed for a long time. He may flip to Georgia. We'll see. But also in the secondary is a really key spot. They need to get another corner, no matter who it is, whether it's one of the kids from Plantation, Florida, Surtain or Campbell. But, you know, we'll see. But, listen, they're in a lot better position now, in my opinion, than they were, you know, Monday at 7 yep. o'clock when this game started.
Yep. Nobody knows it better than the man on the inside. That's Rodney Orr, the founder and editor of TiderInsider.com. Rodney, thank you so much for your time today. Get some sleep.
Harold, Brett, I appreciate you guys. Take care.
Hey, thank you,
Rodney. Have it again. Rodney Orr, TiderInsider.com.